Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. It's March 16th, 2017, and good morning, everybody. And on the line, I have Will White. Good morning, Will. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Lon. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Will is the co-founder of Summit Achievement in Maine, the chairman of the board. He's a licensed clinical worker, has been with Summit Achievement for some time. And today we're going to talk about a colleague, one of the co-founders of Summit Achievement, who passed away a couple of years ago, Adam Sappas. And the title is Adam Sappas, A Life of Helping, Healing, and Connecting. And I had an opportunity to meet him just briefly a few times, and so didn't really know Adam very well. So I guess you're about as good a person as any that can tell me, well, what was Adam all about? So why don't you start with the accident, what happened a couple years ago, because that sort of tells a little bit of who Adam was. And then get into get into his philosophy and his the helping and the healing and the connecting that he was capable of.
Oh, I very much appreciate it. And part of the reason why I'm on the show today is to introduce that we have created the Adam Sappas Memorial Fund, and the funds that are donated in his name will go to the Sky's the Limit Foundation, the Sky's the Limit Fund, which helps young people helps their parents pay for wilderness therapy programs. Mm-hmm. And 2 years ago, 2 years and a month to today, my friend, co-founder of Summit, and we met 22 years ago. Now that Summit is 21 years old, Adam passed away from injuries sustained in a kite skiing accident near his home on Crystal Lake in Maine, in Harrison, Maine. And so kite skiing is you're on a lake or on a field, you're wearing short skis, and you're being you're going on the kite is pulling you along, and sometimes you pull it up and you go up in the air and down in the air, down from there back onto the lake or to the field. And he was going around in front of his house, and unfortunately a gust of wind picked him up, and he hit a small structure near his house and passed away from internal injuries. And we all, not only Summit Achievement, but the community of Harrison, Maine, and obviously his family, are all really miss Adam. And I think what's unique about Adam is he created a life up here similar to where he was born and raised in Ithaca, New York. He actually was raised on a lake, Cayuga Lake, in upstate New York. He ended up going to Ithaca High School and then on to Northfield, Mount Hermon, and eventually graduated from UC Berkeley. Yeah,
back to what you were talking about just a moment ago. It was also a shock through his colleagues throughout the country. It was a real shock when we heard about the news back there. And I know.
Well, he was a young man. He was 49 years old.
Yeah.
49, and he had four children, Kira, Eben, Noah, and Ezra, and he left his wife, Toby Faye, mom. So all of them were deeply impacted by his loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell a little bit more about it, because that sort of gives a hint that he was an active person and just a natural and working with outdoor program.
Oh, you know, Adam was a student of life. You know, he was never one to let school get in the way of his education. You know, he captained and crewed various tall ships, sailing extensively throughout the Atlantic and the Caribbean. He was an accomplished hockey player, a very strong skater, because in the winter in New England and in upstate New York, you skate on the ponds. And in the summer, you're boating. So those met his two needs. He was a great skier, a snowboarder, wakeboarder, and then he took on kiteboarding. He was such a successful sailor. He loved live music and, you know, going to music concerts. And he was he's a very lovable person. He was a people person. He was gregarious, outgoing, in a way that was more about more than just conversation, you know. He had an easy smile and kind nature that put people at ease as he listened to their words and stories and what was behind them. You know, he was our admissions director the last 15 years at Summit. You know, the first four, he was our program director, and he really helped parents feel at ease in placing their children at Summit Achievement.
And that's real tricky because I was admissions director for a few years here in the West. And it's real tricky because the parents are frazzled, they're frantic, they're worried, mm-hmm. they're fearful. Mm-hmm. And you have to calm them down and get them to where they can think straight. And it's real touchy.
Yeah. Well, and I think it speaks to the Adam's great personality and very compassionate, a lot of wisdom and joy and gratitude and really helping people understand that in placing their child in a program in Summit Achievement, and it's in any program, it's a very, very difficult process, but in the end it is the best decision they can make at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Adam's story, well, Adam's, or I'm going to use Adam's own words. As you know, Lon, I wrote a book. Actually, it was published after Adam passed away, and I actually dedicated the book, Stories from the Field, A History of Wilderness Therapy, to Adam.
You know, it's fair to do a plug for the book, the full name and how to get a hold of it, if you like.
Sure. So the book is Stories from the Field, A History of Wilderness Therapy, and the easiest accessibility is just going on Amazon. It's, you know, it's reviewed, and you can buy it right off there, and the electronic version's there. But the first half of the book is a giant landscape, almost weaving a story of the long history of wilderness therapy. The second part is written by different program owners and founders who write the stories of how they started their program. Now, all the programs in the book are currently operating OBH, Outdoor Behavioral Healthcare Council program members. So there's about 21 chapters of different programs. And what I did in crafting, so the first half of the book I wrote is all written by me. The second half is different chapters with the different authors putting in it, and I helped put together the Summit chapter. How I did that was I had videotaped Chris Mays and Adam Sappas and myself a number of years ago, so we would have something that we could show staff about the history of Summit from the people who founded it, just in case something would happen. And, you know, ironically, 3 years later, Adam passed away. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the legacy. We have Adam's own words about coming to Summit. So he was after he had graduated from University of California, Berkeley, he was sailing tall ships. And so what happened is Adam had known Chris for many years. He was Adam was the second mate to Chris Mays, and Chris and him would talk about programs. And then Adam also got to know Chris's then wife, Candy Kane Mays, and they continued to talk about developing a program somewhere in New England. And so I'm going to read you a quote, Adam's, his story about how he got to Summit.
Sure.
And then you can ask me more questions. So this is Adam's own words. I was drawn to working at Ocean Quest because I was a sailor, and I had a kinship with some of the students I was working with. Now, they were inner-city, habitual criminal offenders from Philadelphia, and I was a guy who was kicked out of boarding school as a kid. But there were kindred spirits there. I was hired on by Chris Mays as one of the mates. Chris was a real mentor of mine and inspired me to understand the power of being out in nature and at sea. He also taught me the importance of structure and routine was for the students to make change. Over the years, Chris, his wife Candy, and I talked about starting a program of our own. The kids at Ocean requests were really tough kids, and I thought maybe we could work with kids more like me when I was young. They were making lousy choices, being thrown out of their school, but fundamentally not so self-destructive like the kids from Ocean Quest. We eventually left Ocean Quest and it headed up to New England. So that's Adam's own words of what brought him to, he had experienced the power of nature, being out on trips, working on these big, tall ships that would take kids who were incarcerated out of jail and put them on these tall ships. And Adam was the captain of the ship many of times.
It sounds like he was one of those struggling teens that we talk about.
I think he would be very open with people that he had challenges as a young person, but he was helped, and mm-hmm. through that, he grew and became very responsible, and got through college, and then went on to help start this program and help run programs for other programs. Other organizations.
I had another thought when you were talking about it when he was out at the University of California at Berkeley. I bet he was doing some surfing, too.
Oh, he was a waterman. He if you couldn't get him away from water. I mean, literally, he bought a house in Maine right on the water, and he was so happy there. Yeah, so happy there.
Well, he was talk about his ability to connect, because that's really important to to admissions and actually to a private wilderness therapy program.
Well, I think Adam never met somebody that he couldn't connect with. Everybody who ever met him thought, or most of the people who met him thought that they were like one of his closest friends, because he had unconditional positive regard for everyone that he met. And he really listened a lot and reinforced and questioned them when they needed to be questioned about things, but supportive and caring, and also helping direct, like a ship's captain, saying, we're hoping to go in this direction, and we need the winds to go this way and the boat to go this way, but with us all working together, we can get to the next place in our lives. So he's great at using metaphors. And, he was also a guy whose mind or body was never filled, never still. He filled it with people and friends and family and adventures. At one time, he said, I'm going away for a week. And I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm driving my motorcycle. I'm flying to California and then driving a motorcycle back, just because I got a motorcycle for a real cheap price. And one time, I think he brought his daughter, and he was driving across country and brought his daughter Kira, I think, to meet you, Lon. Isn't that correct?
Yeah,
Adam and Kira stopped by.
I have a picture of him by my Woodbury Report sign, I think.
Isn't that great? I think he was bringing her out to go start work at Microsoft or something like that. I'm pretty sure that was what was happening.
Yeah, I'd have to look back on the records. Well, what would you say his legacy was? Talk about a large part of that would be Summit Achievement as a contribution to that. So tell us a little bit about Summit Achievement and what Adam helped develop.
Well, Adam's legacy at Summit was really helping guide the organization and assisting the thousands of adolescents and families and staff who we served for over 21 years. His smiling face and welcome and demeanor really helped ease the anxiety of many families throughout that process. And Summit is unique in the field, as you know, of wilderness therapy, because we're a hybrid model where there's an academic component and an expedition component. Today is Thursday, and our students go out into the field Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they come back to base, and they go to school Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and they're in individual and family therapy during that time here. Adam, as well as myself, and Chris Mays, and Candy Mays, really felt that having a hybrid model was so important, because the academic piece is really one of the main missions of adolescence, is to getting through school. And as time is going on, it's we're finding more and more students who are really who do really a great job on expedition, but school is the most challenging part mm-hmm. of their mm-hmm. time in the treatment process. More and more students who are being referred to Summit are dealing with school refusal and anxiety related to school. And so that's part of why we have the school component. And we've always been about supporting our families, and so we have given away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in funds and to defray the cost, because we really, we're not a corporately owned, we're a small organization. I'm one of the owners. Adam's widow is one of the owners. Chris and Candy Mays, or Chris Mays and Candy Kane are also owners of it. So we're small, but we also want, and part of that is we really want to help families. And we do that, and part of the reason Adam's family came to me and said this would be a great idea of having a memorial fund is so that we can help defray people's the cost of going to wilderness therapy programs. And that's why we teamed with Sky's the Limit Foundation. Well, and really, I think that's what Adam would have wanted.
I think so. It's a good organization. It's done a lot of good things, and I was glad to hear it that you're affiliated with it. And we about ran out of time, but could you give some contact information for either or and yourself and the Sky's the Limit?
Sure. Well, the Summit Achievement, it's summitachievement.com. If anybody would like to email me, it's will@summitachievement.com. The Sky's the Limit Fund is it's literally skiesthelimitfund.org, and that's where people can donate to help families access wilderness therapy programs, not only Summit, but others, including Pacific West, Open Sky, and Anasazi Foundation. And I'm heading out there for a fundraiser in the beginning of April to help raise more funds, because what we I and many in the field feel strongly about is wilderness therapy works. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you inviting me to be on your show and sharing Adam's story.
Okay, well, glad to. I'm glad you had the time. It's good to hear a little bit more about Adam, and I know he'll be missed by all of us, and especially his family and colleagues there in Maine. But thank you very much, Will, and you have a good day.
You too, Lon. Thank you.
This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report.